to be here today. Come on, give him some praise, church. He's worthy of our praise. Worthy to be praised this morning. If you need a hymnal, turn over to page number 393. And we're going to sing one of our favorite hymns this morning to get the service started. It's great to be here on this Father's Day. And let me take an opportunity to wish all the fathers a happy Father's Day today. I know Pastor will convey that to you as well today. But page number 393, let's sing the first and the last of When We All Get to Heaven. All right. Everyone sing. Let's fill the house with some praise this morning. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all sing that chorus again, sing it again, church. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Again, it's great to see you here this morning. Pastor, you want to come? And let's hear from Pastor this morning.
Good morning, everyone. And I've got to get used to this again. And this is a different change of events. Forgive me for coming in on two wheels, but for the past, trying to catch my breath still, but for the past 3 months, we've been coming to a certain red light. And it's been red for about 2 or 3 minutes, no longer than that. But this morning it was red for 10 minutes. I am not kidding you. That red light was red for 10 minutes, and I just didn't have the heart to run it and come to church and preach. And I had a good prayer time this morning, and God was speaking wonderfully this morning, and I just didn't have the heart to run it. And so please forgive me for that, for coming in and now trying to catch my breath. But nonetheless, we are so, so happy to be here. So, so happy to look and see you here. And God is a good, good God. He's a faithful Father. Yeah. He has been doing a tremendous work in my heart. And I know He's been doing a work in your heart. I tell you, the country has just been going through a great deal, haven't we? Yeah. It's been a series of things. It's been the pandemic. It's been politics. It's been protesting. It's been all kinds of things. But you know, the Lord has been faithful. He has, the Lord has really been allowing us to embrace Scripture, literally putting Scripture into shoe leather, really. So for so many years, you know, we read the Word of God, we meditate upon the Word of God, and I'm not saying that, you know, through the years we haven't fully lived the Word of God. We have. But I'm telling you, when this coronavirus came and things started shutting down, people started getting sick, it hit us, it hit this country, it hit households. People started working from home. people started dying. It was just a slap in the face. I mean, literally, it just hit America like none other. But then, you know, a little while has passed, and America, I like to think, has embraced God the much more. The church has, during that time, kind of emptied out, and it was a shock to all of us at first. But I think we've seen how God has been doing a work through that. We've been embracing Scripture. We've been feasting upon God's Word like we've never have before. It's really been developing into a trust, I believe, in God's Word like we've never had before. And so, with that said, it's from faith to faith. It's from day to day. You know, God's at the helm. He knows what's going on. We don't. In saying all that, you know, we count it a privilege and an honor to come in here the past 3 months, Sunday in, Sunday out. It's been different. It's been unusual. But my family and I, we've really enjoyed it. We've had some great times together here. Just us and you through the camera. We've had a great time. God has done an unusual work in our hearts. And I want to say thank you for faithfully watching. I know there's been a buffet of preachers, I like to call it. But you've been faithful to your church. And I want to say thank you for that. It's been rough. It's been tough. But we're here this morning. And I know it looks different. And there's tape on the pews. And there's hand sanitizer and, you know, things like that. There's no choir this morning, no Sunday school, you know. But we're going to keep our eyes on our services for the next few weeks on Sunday mornings. And we're going to gauge it. And as long as nobody's getting sick, we'll usher things in little by little. You know, we'll hold to the CDC guidelines the best we can. We're not going to be frivolous with this. We're not going to be overconfident and say, hey, nobody's getting sick. Let's just pile back in. And listen, I have some friends who pastor, and some of them have packed in, and there are reports of a couple people already getting coronavirus. We're not going to do that. We're going to be, wise, as the Bible says, wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. We want to use our minds. We're not going to be fearful, but we are going to worship the Lord in His house. If bars can be open, if supermarkets can be open, if coffee shops can be open, God's house can be open. We will just take it step by step, service by service, until Jesus comes. So with that said, let's bow for a word of prayer this morning. And listen, this is our first Sunday back since all this has happened. And I'm not really sure what Brother Allen has, but it's the Lord's service. And so we'll go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and I'll give it back to Him. After He gets through, then we'll bring the message. And I want to say this, when we do leave this morning, we'll have some deacons with offering plates at our entrances, and then we'll give our tithes and offerings at that time as we leave, just drop it in the plate. That way we don't have to pass the plate and pass any germs while passing the plates. We want to be careful. Heavenly Father, we bow in no other name but Jesus' name. What an obstacle this morning. Out of all the mornings, Lord, we've been coming and going, this morning has been the most strangest. But Lord, we're here. What a blessing of the turnout. It just shows the eagerness of your people, God. I'm so thankful and overwhelmed at how your people, Lord, want to come to your house. What a blessing. I pray this morning, God, that you will be glorified. Let this first morning back be, Lord, let it be a monumental morning. Just let it be special. Let something be said. Let it just be honored and kept with a stamp, Lord, of your approval. Lord, let it just be a time of reminiscing of your faithfulness, an observance of your purity, Lord, of your God, just who you are and what you do and what you've been doing since all this has started in America and in our world. Lord, I don't know. This is your service. I just pray that you'll take control. Father, we're thankful for our children's home and keeping them safe, Lord, through this time. And how you bless them with things and, Lord, even the meals that was donated during this time. God, what a blessing that was, and the continual blessings and keeping all them well. Thank you for the staff there. Dear God, Brother Brian, Miss Melita, Darlene, and all the rest. God, thank you for Brother Alan Clayton, Lord, all of our musicians and those that serve here, our deacons. What a blessing, God, Calvary Baptist Church is, has been, Father, will be. Help us just keep our hands to the plow, not looking back, always looking ahead. Lord, there is no discharge. No discharge. If there's ever a time where to be faithful is now, there's little ones watching that are relying upon our faithfulness. Because of that, Lord, we set our face towards you, and with joy and gladness in our hearts, we move forward. I pray, Lord, also for those that are viewing this morning. Pray that you bless them. Thank you for those that are watching. Pray that you protect them as they feel the need to stay home, being protected. We love you. We thank you. We praise you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray.
We come into the house of the Lord this morning, and I was sitting there thinking, we were all excited about singing, "When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be." But I couldn't help but think that the last time we all gathered together, it was a time of rejoicing. Everything was going along fine. We didn't have any idea that we'd go 3 months or so without ever even being able to darken the doors of a church and be able to get together again as we are now. And since that time, I, and I'm sure you have as well, have, to be honest with you, we've lost some loved ones and some friends.
Yes.
To the sickness and the virus. But they are now rejoicing in heaven, and we still sing that song, "When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be." All because of one thing, the amazing grace of God. Because of His grace and His mercy, salvation. I want us to sing the first and the last of "Amazing Grace." And I want you to sing it this morning as worship unto the Lord. Just allow Him to speak to you this morning. We haven't been able to do this in months. Think of that. Not together. But can we sing the first and the last verse of "Amazing Grace"? How sweet the sound.
That's right.
choir, as well as us as a church, learned a little chorus some time back, and I want us to sing it together this morning. You'll catch on pretty quick and remember the words. It says, God is a good God. Pastor said it just a few moments ago, just before he prayed. It says, God is a good God. The gospel is good news. Today is a good God, a good day to give our good God praise. Can we sing that a few times this morning? God is a good God. The gospel is good news. Today is a good day to give our good God praise. God is a good God. The gospel is good news. Today is a good day to give our good God praise. God is a good God. The gospel is good news. Today is a good day to give our good God praise. God is a good God. The gospel is good news. Today is a good day to give our good God praise. God is a good God. The gospel is good news. Today is a good day. One more time. Good God praise. God is a good God. The gospel is good news. Today is a good day to give our good God praise. Today is a good day to give our good God praise. Amen.
I want to say real quick that we're going to sing a song talking about the bloodline, and I'm just thankful that even through all this chaos and all this crazy that it has been over the past 3 weeks, if you have Jesus in your heart, and you're saved, and you've asked him into your heart, you have a bloodline there that is of protection. And even if, you know, heaven forbid, if something happens, we know what our end is. So we should still be able to praise the Lord, even though it's scary, with Jesus in our life and in our heart. No matter what, we know what our ending is, and that's enough to be thankful and to praise the Lord for. So I'm just thankful for that, and I'm thankful to be back here and be with you guys, but I'm so thankful that there's a bloodline that's been applied to my life at the age of 16 that I'm protected, and as long as I don't have to do anything, I'm protected, but live my life to please him, and I have a protection there that they can't get to, so I'm just thankful for that.
These words are so true. Listen to the words. Let the Lord speak to you this morning. He can't cross the bloodline.
Even though my spirit's low, and it seems I can hardly go, but still I see victory. Many times I'm walking by faith and can't see what lies before me, but still I see victory. I've just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by his blood. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight, cause remember, you can't cross the bloodline. Sometimes our battles get hot, and it seems we're fighting a lot, but I remember I'm standing on the rock. So Satan, if I were you, I'd turn around and I'd give up too, because I do believe you're bound to lose. I just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by his blood. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight. 'Cause remember, you can't cross the bloodline. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight. 'Cause remember, you can't cross the bloodline.
Praise the Lord for the bloodline. I want to say happy Father's Day to all you fathers. Definitely a joy and a job to be a father. What an honor to be a father. Let me say this before we share a few things from God's Word this morning. I want to give a very special thank you to Miss Terry Clayton for making pies for Father's Day today. All fathers, please pick up a pie on your way out today in the fellowship hall. And so there's some delightful pies for dads in the fellowship hall. Also want to say graduation next Sunday. Next Sunday morning, please contact Miss Amanda with any questions on that. I'm getting caught up on my announcements, as you can tell. So looking forward to those pies. Also want to give a prayer request for Miss Lynn Vandiver. She was in the hospital a couple days this past week, and let's pray for her that she does not have to have surgery on her colon. But she has some stomach issues. That's just touching the very basis of what really took place. So prayer for Miss Lynn Vandiver this morning. Many, many other requests for the sake of time. Just log on and check that out on our website. The Gospel of Mark this morning for a few moments. Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10. And I want to look at one verse for a few moments. Mark 10. In verse number 45, Mark chapter number 10 and verse number 45, I want to look at a verse for a few moments and try to be an encouragement could. Bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to read the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 10 and verse number 45. Father, we are thankful this morning how you have put everything together and you've allowed me to get here in one piece. I just pray that you would speak now, O Lord, to the hearts of your people. God, you put it in my heart to be an encouragement, and I pray that that will be done. Quicken my mind, my spiritual thinking. Give me strength. Help me, Lord, I pray, to be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Mark chapter number 10, verse number 45. The Bible says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Just that one verse this morning. For even the Son of Man came not to minister, to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. I want you to notice the word this morning, minister. The word minister means to be a servant, or it means to serve like in a deacon role. This verse tells us that Jesus came to do two things in the entirety of this verse. Number one, this verse tells us that Jesus came to serve. It tells us that he came to be a servant, as in a deacon role. But also this verse tells us that not only he came to serve, but this verse tells us that he came to save. Notice what it says again. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. He came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So this morning, this verse tells us that Jesus came to do two things. He came to serve, and he came to save. And what a blessing that is. This morning, I'm glad that I'm saved. I'm glad that he came 2,000 years ago to give his life a ransom for the world. He didn't just give his life a ransom for one or two or for a few. But he gave his life a ransom for many. And that word many means all. But this morning, I'm interested not so much in the saving part as I am in the serving part. Now, no doubt this morning there may be some here that needs to be saved. And no doubt this morning there may be some watching. I'm so used to preaching to the phone through media. I don't want to leave them out, but there may be some that's watching that needs to be saved. And the Lord knows how to deal with them. But there may be some that have already been saved that the Lord may be appealing to in the area of how the Lord deals with the saved in the area of serving. And what I mean by that is, in the whole Gospel of Mark, we see Jesus as servant. In the four Gospels, each Gospel portrays Jesus in a different fashion. For example, the Gospel of Matthew portrays Jesus as a lion, meaning that Jesus is King of the Jews, and it speaks of his kingship. Here in the Gospel of Mark, it portrays Jesus and it gives the picture of a calf or ox. And it portrays Jesus as servant, being a servant of the people. And this appeals to his humanity. When you read the Gospel of Mark in its entirety, he's always busy serving people. And it's through his humanity that people appeal to. He's always being touched by his humanity. He's always going to the aid of people. Every time you read a chapter, it seems like the word straightway is there, or immediately. Jesus is responding to people through his humanity. The Gospel of Luke, you'll find out that it portrays the picture of a man. And we see that Christ is the Son of Man. And it's through the idea of mercy. He's the great physician in the Gospel of Luke. He's showing mercy in the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of John portrays the picture of an eagle. And we see that Christ is the Son of God in the Gospel of John. And we know that the Word became flesh. And so each Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, portrays something. Lion, ox, man, eagle. And so here in the book of Mark, we see in verse number 45, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister." And so this makes perfect sense this morning. Because Mark is portraying Christ as a man on the move. He's a man that is ministering to the needs of man. Why is that? Because he's the God-man. He's a man in this gospel who is touched by the infirmities of man. He's a man who is on the scene preaching the gospel, moving his way toward the cross. But in the meantime, he is so much God and so much man. He is, during his duration of ministry, is filled with humanity, and he's being touched this morning. So we see that he is serving and he is getting ready to save. But in the meantime, he is ministering. He is serving. He's being touched. I want you to notice that the word straightway is used in the entire book of Mark 41 times. That's telling us that Jesus is busy serving and helping, healing, counseling, instructing people in their lives as needs arise. Go back to chapter number 1 for a moment, or go to chapter number 1, if you don't mind. Chapter number 1, book of Mark. I want you to notice something. Chapter number 1, notice verse number 10. "And, and straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him." Look at verse 12. "And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness." Verse 18. "And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him." Verse 20. "And straightway he called them." Verse 21. "And they went into Capernaum. And straightway on the Sabbath day he entered to the synagogue and taught." Look at verse 28. "And immediately his fame spread." Verse 29. "And forthwith," look at verse 31, "and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them." Look at verse 42. "And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed." Verse 43. "And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away." That's 10 times in chapter number 1 that the word straightway, immediately, forthwith are used. In the entire book of Mark, the word itself, straightway, is used 41 times. Jesus is serving in the book of Mark. The book of Mark portrays Christ as the man who is serving. It pictures the ox. What does the ox do on the farm? It has the yoke. It's moving. It's working. What does the Bible say? "Take upon me my yoke and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." This morning, as we look at Jesus, and as we're taking into consideration how that Jesus is the one who's ministering, I want you to understand that the Lord, he is working in our lives. I'm just guessing that everyone's saved in here. I'm guessing everyone's saved online. And I know that everyone isn't saved online. And only the Lord knows who's saved in here. But we're assuming that's the case. I want you to know that the Lord is actively ministering and wants to work in your life and mine. We know He's working in your life. We know He's working in my life. He wants to work in our lives. Even today, during the pandemic, politics, and protesting, He wants to work. It's a time of great fear and anxiety and worry. Listen, you don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in panic. You don't have to be in seclusion and be at home, be like a hermit crab and be in fear to go to the market because the color of your skin or do anything like that. You can go out and be an American and work and be free and preach Jesus and live happily. Why? Because the Lord Jesus wants you to, and He can work in your life. And you can be free and happy and spread Jesus. You don't have to be a person of fear. But besides all those things, listen, Jesus is still working in all of our lives in daily matters. When you arise in the morning, He's working in your life at your home place. Even when you go to your daily job and job matters, issues with your boss and even people who you work with, He's interested in those things. When school gets fired back up. And listen, there's CDC policies and things that are going to be in place this next school year. We're awaiting those things. Jesus is interested in those matters. In all kinds of sports and activities. Some people's already gone on vacation. God willing, we're going to go at the end of July. There's things there. And Jesus is interested in that. Jesus is interested in your health. He's interested in my health. Listen this morning. God is interested in every facet of our lives. He is the ministering Father. He is the active Father. He is the ministering Jesus, and He wants to have access to every area of our lives. And the question is, will we give Him that access this morning? Listen, every one of us have at least one area that we struggle with. This morning, I may grant God every area access to my life. But there's at least one area that I struggle with. You know, that's what Paul said. You know, Paul, he says, I buffet myself. He says, I buffet myself. I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, somewhere around verse number 27. He says, I'm not in the fight against my brother. I'm not one who beateth the air. He says, I'm contending against myself. I blacken my eye. I buffet myself so that I won't be a castaway and that God may render me useless. Listen, all of us have struggles. All of us contend with things. And so this morning we must stay in the battle and allow Jesus to have access to every area of our lives. That doesn't mean we're going to successfully complete that thing on day one or day two or day three. It may take a lifetime, but it doesn't mean you're rotten. It doesn't mean you're unworthy. I believe, I can't remember who said it, but one preacher said one time, sin, committing a sin isn't disgraceful, but remaining in sin is disgraceful. We all will commit sin. That's not shameful. Who in here has never committed sin? Cast the first stone. But remaining in sin is disgraceful this morning. Sometimes in life, we hold people to these great big high standards. And when they slip and they fall, we cast stones at them. But God forbid that we do that. Committing a sin is not disgraceful, but remaining in sin is disgraceful. Somebody said here recently, preacher, you ought to read Galatians 6:1. I said, brother, I live in Galatians 6:1. He said, you know what that means? He said, brother, if you see a brother overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, consider yourself. I said, I live that verse. I said, I'm not one that's prideful people. walk around looking down on people. So in fact, I walk around looking up to people. I said, I always walk around considering myself. I said, you must not understand where I come from. I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. I said, I was a high school dropout on drugs and alcohol. I didn't get born again until I was 20 years old. I said, what you talking about? I said, God reached down and gloriously saved me. I said, I have nothing to glory of but the cross of Jesus Christ. I said, if I ever see a brother struggling, I said, I'm one you can come to. I said, don't ever tell me to read Galatians 6:1. I said, if there's ever an angle against me you don't agree with, bless God, there's a reason. You ought to ask me my reason. I said, but listen, Galatians 6:1 is about tenderly restoring someone. It's not about cutting somebody off in anger just because of your stance against sin. Listen, this morning, what I'm trying to say is simply this, that in life, there are things that happen, and there are times when we struggle, but it's all about pressing forward and allowing Jesus to minister and help us. This morning, I want to mention some things, at least three occasions. Haven't even got to the sermon yet. At least three occasions where Jesus was actively ministering. And there were three people that he came in contact with that he ministered to. And what he did. Number one, in chapter one, we're here. Notice if you would, in verse number 40. We see that Jesus sympathized. Jesus sympathized. Let me just go ahead and give my title, Ways Jesus Ministers Unto Us. And we see in chapter number 1, verse number 40 through verse number 45, that Jesus sympathizes. In verse number 40, the Bible says, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, saith unto him, see thou, say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him for every quarter. I want to say this, that in these verses we see Jesus sympathizing. He was moved with compassion. Compassion means in this verse, in verse number 41, compassion, it means to feel sympathy or pity. It means to have the bowels yearn. And so keep in mind, keep freshly in our minds this morning, we're talking about Jesus in his ministry. We know that Jesus came to save, but he also came to serve. And we're believing everybody in here saved this morning. And so he wants to serve in our life. He wants to minister in our life. And the book of Mark is all about him serving in the people's lives. And we see a picture of Jesus' sympathy here. He saw a leper in it. He was moved with compassion. Did you know that in your life and mine, there are times where Jesus is moved with compassion? There are times where he looks upon us and his bowels yearn. There's times where he looks upon us and he has a feeling of sympathy or pity. The Bible says that there was a leper here in verse number 40. In verse number 41, and Jesus moved with compassion. Why did Jesus move with compassion? Why did he have a feeling of sympathy here? Well, I believe, number one, It was because of this man's condition. He had leprosy. Verse 40. And there came a leper to him. He had an awful condition. Now, no one here, as much as I know, has leprosy. But I do know there are times where we find ourselves in awful conditions. There's times in my life where, I don't have leprosy. But there's times in my life where I find myself in awful conditions. And I read my Bible, and my Bible says something in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4, in verse number 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I may not have leprosy, you may not have leprosy, but we do see a leper who had a bad, bad condition. There are times in life where we may find ourselves with an awful condition. Maybe a physical condition. Maybe a spiritual condition. Maybe a mental condition. Maybe a financial condition. Maybe some kind of condition that you find yourself in. Maybe you put yourself in that condition. Maybe you did not put yourself in that condition. But the truth of the matter is, if you belong to Jesus, according to this story in Hebrews chapter number 4, we have a high priest. We have a minister to our souls that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, that has bowels of mercies, that can be touched and that can be moved with compassion. I'm glad this morning that when I have a bad day, I'm glad this morning when I have a headache, I'm glad this morning when I have a very bad day, I'm glad when people rise up and try to come against me, they try to persecute me, they try to say all manner of evil against me, I got a high priest, and I can go to the throne room of grace, and I can find help at every time of the day, and you do too, anytime you need him. As long as you're saved, he's there to serve you, your high priest is. So this morning, we see the servant Jesus. He has sympathy. Now, Jesus, he was moved with compassion. And he was moved with compassion because of this man's condition. I want you to see something else. The man's condition was leprosy. But Jesus was moved with compassion because the man came for help. Verse number 40 again. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, notice this, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus moved with compassion. Are you kidding me? If thou wilt? We have a person with a very bad condition. Savior, will you save me? Will you clean me? Doctor said, Doc, oh, I'm so sick, I'm hurting. It's a very qualified doctor, mind you. I mean, he got up extra early that day. Fresh doctor clothes. I mean, his nurse filled his cabinet with every kind of medicine to think of. He had his coffee, he had everything. He's sitting on his chair, spinning in circles, just waiting for the first patient to walk in the door. And the patient just comes in there, wounded and hurting. Can you help me? Will you help me? That doctor's like, oh yeah, I'm waiting to help you. You see, I believe that this leper, when he asked, will you, it just, God delighted, wanted to. I said that to say this, that there may be somebody this morning struggling. And part of you, you may be carrying some kind of guilt. You may be carrying some kind of baggage this morning. You may be saying, I'm just not good enough to. I know I'm saved, but you see, I've offended God, and I'm carrying baggage, and I'm living in the past. Or you may not even be saved. You may be lost and say, well, I'm not good enough to come into the family of God. And God don't love me. And, you know, I want to say to you this morning, and you that may be watching, that Jesus wants to save you. If you are saved, Jesus wants to help you. He's the doctor on the chair. He has the immunizations. He has the medicine. He wants to save you. He's yearning. He wants to give his life for you. He did 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. Jesus saves, and he wants to save you this morning. Well, I want to say that the doctor's in the room and the father's in the house. Jesus has sympathy. You see, Jesus was moved. Where do we get the idea that he just grows dull of our hearing? Where do we get the idea that his hearing grows dull? You know what it says in Isaiah? That his ear is not too heavy, that he cannot hear. And his arm is not too short that he cannot save. You know what the Lord's doing this morning? Anybody? You know what the Lord's doing this morning? Anybody? The problem is me and you. No, Lord. You don't understand. I know your ear. I know you're listening. You just don't understand how bad I've been. I know you want to help me, but you just don't understand. Or this may be the case. I know you want to help me, Lord, but you're just not done yet. I know you want to help me, Lord, but I got a lot of things over here. I really like the way that drug makes me feel. Lord, I know you want to help me, but I really like the way I feel when you're drunk. Lord, I really like the way I feel when you're high. Lord, I know you say the church is good, but the nightclubs are better. You see, it can be anything. But all the while, the Lord is like this. All the while, you see, the problem ain't with God. For 2,000 plus years, going back to the Old Testament, the whole time he's trying, his hands like this. His ear is like this. And in this, the Bible says he was moved with compassion because this man had leprosy. But then he was moved with compassion because this man came to him. Jesus wants to save you this morning. Jesus wants to help you this morning. But the question is, are you done? Are you done? Are you done with it? Someone said, I hadn't hit rock bottom yet to be done. Lord help. There are too many parents that frequent the graveyard. The last words of their child was, I'm not done yet. I haven't hit rock bottom yet. Let me tell you, parent, a child, if you know anybody that has uttered the words, I haven't hit rock bottom yet. It's time for intervention. I haven't hit rock bottom yet. That's a sign of addiction. Those words, I haven't hit rock bottom yet, is a prerequisite to a call or a call from the funeral home. I've worked at a funeral home. I've picked up bodies of a call of suicide and overdose. Listen, this is life. This is real, young people, old people, middle-aged people. We are reading about and we are hearing about a real Jesus with an ear stretched out from heaven and a hand down that's saying, I want to save you. I want to reach you this morning. Give up the drugs. Give up the booze. Don't mock the church. Don't make fun of church people. Hey, listen, you make fun of me that Justin Hales got saved and you're mocking me because I'm going to church and preaching. Shame on you. Guess what, buddy? I had turned back then. I had turned back now. And I'm never going to turn back, buddy. I'm living the high life, not you. Woo! There was a couple. couple of brothers in the Bible, James and John, guess what Jesus named them? Boanerges, sons of thunder. I don't know if they call them that because preaching style or what. I know this. God saved me from the pool room, put me in the pulpit, and I ain't apologizing for nothing. I want to say this morning, Jesus saves. I ain't turning back. I want to just say this, that outside these doors is real life. This world is not getting better. There is drugs in our community. Alcohol is on every street. And the easiest thing to do right now, during the time in which we live, is to give up for the immediate fix. Let me mention something else, and we'll bring it to a close here in a moment. This leper was healed. Jesus had compassion. He had a condition. The man came for help. The leper was cured. Look, if you would, in verse number 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Let me just say something about salvation. Salvation is instant, and it's from the inside out. And that's how this leper was healed. He was healed from the inside out. His leprosy took place from the inside out. He was touched, and then his leprosy was healed on the outside. He was touched on the inside, then his leprosy was healed on the outside. Number two, and I'll be through. I have one more, but we'll see how it goes. Jesus sympathizing as a servant. But number two, Jesus seeing as a servant. Look at chapter number two. In verse number one, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house, I guess so, after healing this leper. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they, notice this, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. I want to say this morning that Jesus is on the move in the book of Mark. And he is serving the people. I'm not saying in the book of Mark everybody's saved here. What I'm saying is he is in serving mode as he is in saving mode in the book of Mark. So we have seen that Jesus sympathized with the leper. He was moved with compassion. And now Jesus is in seeing mode. In verse number 5, the Bible says that when Jesus saw their faith, Jesus actually here saw someone, or he actually saw a group of people's faith. You believe that? Jesus can see our faith. I want you to notice that there's a small group of men. In fact, the Bible says in verse number 3, and they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born or lifted of four. So, 1 + 4, 5. I'm not a smart man, but I think 1 + 4 is 5. Five. There were five people. Listen to this. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy. I seen this last night, which was born of four. Look at verse number 5. When Jesus saw their faith. Some commentators only put the faith on the four, not the one laying on the bed. that Jesus saw the faith of, saying that Jesus saw the faith of the four, not the faith of the one on the bed, because when Jesus said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee," just hang with me and listen to this. This is just my suggestion here. I believe that Jesus, it was the faith of all five. This is just my suggestion. It can be the other, but this is just my suggestion on this. Jesus saw all five of their faith. I believe it was a condition that the man had put himself in because of sin. Listen to what he says. "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Now, if you go back and read this story, I want you to notice in verse number 3 that, number 1, there was a decision made. "And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four," which was lifted of four. And then in verse number 4, we see a denial. "And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press." And so they tried to actually get in, but they couldn't. And then I want you to notice there was some determination here. They uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And then in verse number 5, we see that he was delivered. "When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Why would he say, "Son, thy sins be forgiven"? If it was just a healing, you know, rise up, take up thy bed, walk, you're healed. Again, this is one or the other. Just a suggestion. I said all that to say this. Jesus is in seeing mode. He saw their faith. The reason why I came to this conclusion was this. He may have already been saved. But sometimes in life, sin can take you down a road further than you want to go and cost you more than you're willing to pay and keep you longer than you're willing to stay. But this man had some friends that did not dispose of him. Listen, it is a great thing to have some Galatians 6:1 friends. Okay, that are with you for the long haul, that are willing to take you and consider themselves lest they be tempted, that are willing to bound you up with sweet touches of the Holy Ghost, to read scripture to you, pray for you and help you along the way, to take you to the house of God. I believe this is that kind of occasion. They went to the house of God, but they couldn't get in. Step number 1 was they decided to bring him to church. Look at verse 3. "And they come unto him, one sick of the palsy, which was lifted afore." That's the first step, was decision. They went to him and decided to bring him to church. But on the flip side of that, he wanted to go. He wanted to go. Number 2, in verse 4, that was verse 3. Verse 4, "And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press." Have you ever went to do something great for God and it didn't pan out? When they finally went, this guy finally wanted to go, and the help was there to take him to go, and they went to church and it didn't work. Have you ever went to do something for God and just turned to mud? Have you ever went to do something for the Lord and it just fell apart? It seems like sometimes when we go to do something for God and you put everything in it, it just falls apart. The Bible says, "And when they could not come nigh to him for the press." Everybody was in front. Decision and denial. But thank God they had some determination. Look what else verse 4 says. They uncovered the roof, which means they had to climb. They had to climb. I want to say this. If there is anything that this old boy's learning about ministry, if there's anything going to be of ministry, I've got to climb. And I want to tell you something. I want to climb. If there is anything God has spoken to me during this pandemic, he is making a mountaineer out of me. I want to climb. I don't want to quit anything in life. These guys here, they uncovered the roof, which means they had to climb. Now, I didn't go and look up how tall from the ground the roof was. It may have been a hut. It may have been, how is this church? I don't know. But they had determination. Christian, where's your determination factor this morning? Jesus saw it. He also sees the lack of. He also sees the lack of. And the Bible says that they uncovered the roof, which means they had to climb, which means there was a man they were toting. Wow. Now sometimes I don't even want to climb anything. Just me. Sometimes I don't want to stand up. That's bad. From this to don't even want to do this, that's bad. Man, for me to go from this to this is bad. To go from this to this, to put some on my back, climbing, I tell you what that takes. That takes God Almighty. See, we serve a God that ministers unto us. He's able, Ephesians 3:20, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And I want to say that we may not have the initial ability. We may feel fatigued and we may feel like we want to throw in the towel. But for the very idea that Jesus sees our faith, that can be That can be enough to get us up to climb. If he saw them do that, I may not have enough initiative to get up for whatever's going on in my life, but to know that he saw them do that, I could think, wow, Jesus is watching me right now. And he saw them climb. With a guy in their hands, I may not feel like getting up, but if he can see me get up, that means he can see my faith in him. So I didn't feel like doing that, but he's seeing me. You know what? I'm gonna go up here and help this fellow over here because he's seeing me. Hey, so and so, remember I didn't feel like getting up, but he's seeing me. Hey, how you doing today? Church. Hey, Brother Allen, guess who's with me today? Now I got somebody with me. Keep in mind, I didn't even feel like getting up. But because of the truth of God's word, he saw my face. See how that works? And all the while now, I'm not operating out of human strength. I'm operating out of the promises and faith of God's word. That's how we operate, folks. Jesus saw their faith. We don't have to rely on our own strength. And I'm telling you, if we had to, it'd be over in a day. Let me mention this and we'll be through. Determination in verse number 4, where he was. And when they had broken it up, they went to work. They let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Verse number 5, we see, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And so he was delivered in verse number 5. Last thing, I want to come. We see in this book of Mark that Jesus is sympathizing. He was moved with compassion. Jesus seeing, he saw their faith. And I'm just going to give it to you. Jesus, lastly, in chapter number 10, verse 46 through 52, we see Jesus standing. Jesus standing. And this really ends back up where we started at, that the Son of God came to minister. Blind Bartimaeus sat by the wayside begging. He was blind, and he was a beggar. We preached on this not long ago. But we see in verse number 49 that the Bible says, and Jesus stood still. Mark chapter number 10, in verse number 49, and Jesus stood still. You see, blind Bartimaeus, he was blind. He was begging. But Bartimaeus knew that Jesus was passing by for the last time. In fact, he heard in verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You see, Bartimaeus knew and he had faith in Jesus of Nazareth, thou son of David. He knew that he was the Redeemer. He knew that he was passing by and going to the cross. And so he cried out. He knew it was his last time passing by. And so he cried out for help. And the people try to quiet him down in verse number 48. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Be quiet, Bartimaeus. Quiet down. You're going to embarrass everyone. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You see, Bartimaeus was blind and begging for too long. He really wanted his life to change. This was the last time that Jesus was passing by. He knew he was the Savior. Help me and save me. Verse 49, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Verse 52, and Jesus said to him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. You see, Jesus, to those of us who are saved, he is ministering in our lives. He is sympathizing with us. He is seeing us. He sees our faith. But also, he is standing still. We can get his attention today. Whatever the situation is in your life, if there's one, I just want you to know this morning that he's here to minister to you. Whatever the case may be, if you feel comfortable and you want to respond, our altars are open. And if you need to come this morning, let's stand to our feet. Also, a virtual invitation is also given for those watching as we sing.
Search me, oh God.
Anybody this morning? Invitation's open. People are responding.